You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
All right.
Man, 90.
Is everybody ready?
See?
Yeah, I'm gonna.
See?
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the Half Hour Happy Hour with Allison and Alex. I'm Alex Albrecht.
I'm Allison Hayslip, and for, you know, about the next 30-ish minutes, we're going to sit around and drink some booze and talk some news.
Booyah.
Yeah.
Booyah. We are always lucky. Nay, it is our privilege to welcome back to the co-captain chair.
Oh, my God. What?
Ooh, co-captain.
Co-captain is way below captain.
I'm just borrowing the chair,
it's like
way.
Twice below.
But we're co-captains, Alex.
All right. To the co...
He's the skipper.
Skipper chair.
You are the skipper.
You are the skipper hat.
I'll take skipper.
Tom, Super Volcano Krajewski.
You are the Gilligan of our lost ship.
Gilligan was a stud in the island, man.
I feel like I would be the professor.
I legitimately think 30% of every episode is taken up by either introducing or saying goodbye to Tom.
I almost just spit my
beard. And by the way, it's great. This is all filler. This whole show is filler, everybody. there's no
just,
here.
Yeah.
There's no actual content
on
our
show. Speaking of filler, we are filling up our fill holes with what may very well be
the last
super popular at beer on the planet.
Yeah.
Thank you, Stone.
Yeah.
So, I've talked about this before, but my brother's getting married, as we know, and he's getting married in San Diego.
Correct.
So last weekend, I was texting with my brother's fiance, Stacy.
Is this going to be about them at the brew house and then get the beer and it turns out they were out? Because you said it in last week's
show. I did?
Yeah, I was like,
wait, I did?
Maybe we
I did?
I was like, I'm going to let her go a little bit with this.
It was a really good story. Gosh. Tell it again.
It was great.
Wait,
was
I already told the story.
Totally. And then you called Mike and you're like, Mike, my brother's there. Go get him. Yeah.
Oh my God. I can't believe I already told this story.
And on the show.
That's hilarious.
That's fantastic.
But wait, did I tell you what the bartender sent to my brother when he asked for the super popular beer?
That it was sold out.
Yes. But he also said that they'll probably make more because they normally make more of the popular ones.
Oh. Yeah.
So
and we lucked out because we named it popular.
Our beer was super popular.
That is fantastic.
We did not lie about the title.
Oh my God!
But so for
awesome.
The bartender to know that we were one of the really popular
ones.
Yeah,
that's intense.
Yeah,
I think that was like subconscious when you go up to the bar and you see it says it's popular.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, then it's got to be good.
Yeah. By the way, guys, marketing geniuses
we
are.
Who would have thought? Who would have thought?
It's great. It's so great. I just love that you started telling that story again. And I was like, I can let her go.
I've only had three sips of the beer, too.
Well, it's this very strong beer.
Man, I got to be honest. You know, like, speaking of telling stories over and over again, like, obviously I've had to tell the great phone napping of 2016 Italy many, many times.
Yeah.
To the point where if I am talking to a friend and I kind of mention it, they go, huh? I'm like, oh my God, how have I not told you the story?
You're like, all right, sit down.
Yeah.
Let's get some water.
Yeah, I'm actually emailing with some friends who live in London right now because I'm going to be going out to visit them shortly.
Oh, cool.
And I was emailing with Madison and she wrote me back. She's like, hey, you've been to Italy. She goes, Will and I are thinking of having our anniversary in either Venice or Naples. What do you think? And I went, do not go to Naples.
Amazing.
I repeat, do not go to Naples. She's like, why? And I was like, I'll tell you when I see you.
Yeah, so you're like, this is going to take an hour.
They have the entire story coming towards them.
Speaking of which, how is your finger doing?
Ooh. Oh, I mean, I'm still in physical therapy twice a week.
Okay.
I know. Wow. We're getting there. I can almost bend it all the way that I'm supposed to be bending
it. I see what's up.
I'm really like hardcore about it. Like they do all these like massaging techniques and stretches and
you're
things
like,
on it.
Just get in on that.
Well, yeah, but I do them like every day constantly. Like whenever I'm just sitting around, like I'll probably be doing it during this episode. I'm like massaging the finger because I want this fucker to heal.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I realize that I think a lot of times when doctors prescribe like physical therapy and they're like, you'll be in this for a year. It's because people don't do the shit at home.
Right. Yeah.
They
only
do it when they go to physical therapy. So I'm trying to be really diligent and like just work this
out. I did that with my hand when I broke my hand.
Yeah.
They were like, this is the and I just never really did them at the house. It's like, fuck, my hand feels fine. I'm just going to, you know.
Oh, see, but that's the thing. Like when I woke up this morning, my finger's all stiff. Like, I feel it. So I actually sit there in bed for a couple minutes and like work through my finger.
Okay.
That
sounds good. That sounds hot.
What are you wearing as you work?
I work through my finger.
Good for you guys. Like, if I break something, I just let it stay broken. I'm like, it'll fix itself.
No.
That is how.
I don't go to physical therapy.
Really?
Yeah, I'll break shit all the time.
You're like,
you break
you're
shit
like
all
Mr.
the time?
Glass from Unbreakable.
Pretty much.
It
heals.
It heals.
Like Wolverine, but it takes a long time to heal.
Oh, I gotcha. I'm sort of like Wolverine, except none of his powers. But I just let things break and heal on their own naturally.
Yeah.
Anything fun, exciting to happen this week?
No, nothing.
Yeah. No, it was sort of it was a bland week.
No.
I found my pocket knife.
Well, no. What?
No
yeah.
Way.
This is exciting. You had lost your pocket knife?
I had lost my pocket knife. I put it somewhere. First off, I need to clean my office like crazy.
Yeah.
It's just full of crap.
You have the awesomest stuff in your office.
I like the stuff that's in my
office because it's really just a glorified man cave. Yeah,
it is. You know what? I hate the idea of a man cave. Like,
why?
I hate the idea that because I live with a woman, I have to like have an area that is all mine because the rest of the house is clearly not my house.
I get that.
Like, it's just like
my entire apartment is a man cave.
Yeah, it's like I have a giant 65-inch TV in the living room. It's not a man cave. It's our living room.
Right.
It has a PlayStation 4, an Xbox One, like Apple TV. Like, it's got all the shit that I want in the living room.
Right.
It's not my man cave. And my office, it's like, she has an office, but it's not like a lady cave. It's like, it's her office.
It's like a musician cave.
It is like a musician cave, actually. She has so many guitars. I was like, ugh. She even has my guitars in there. I have two guitars as well. And I was like, Jesus. But anyway, yes. But you could classify it as a man cave just because it's all my shit. And most of my shit is man shit. Like,
I have
a Rambo knife in there.
It's not that it's man shit. It's that it's like geeky toy shit. You know what I mean?
Well, this is the thing.
Because like,
I get a lot of toys.
Yeah, I do too. This is why I don't like that it's called a man cave. Because like, I have a bunch of this shit in my place too. It's just it's displayed. You know.
Yeah.
But it's not like I'm a man.
I got to go through and figure out what I want to. Not be displayed.
It should be called like a fan cave.
Our new TV show.
That is
totally.
Dude, fan caves is totally a reality show
fan
that's like
caves.
On Spike.
Instead of
I
fan
love
caves.
That.
By the way,
patent pending.
The fact that all three of us just had the exact same reaction at the same time was pretty amazing.
We have a couple days to trademark that.
Yeah. We never trademark
anything.
We never do anything.
But I would totally watch a show called Fan Caves.
Yeah, Fan Caves.
Oh, God. The first one is a bat cave.
The actual bat cave.
Yeah, or like that Enterprise home theater.
That thing's awesome.
Yeah, Next Generation home theater.
Fan Caves.
Fan Caves.
Oh, my gosh.
God damn. What? Why? We need to do something about this.
Shit.
We're not going to do anything about this.
No, we're not.
But we need to do something
about
this.
By the way, speaking of not doing anything about anything.
Yeah, that's
many me. Many people pointed out that we literally did not name the episode from last week correct.
Literally, yeah.
We should have named it literally.
I know.
Why did we not do that?
I don't know. I literally didn't think about it. That word, by the way, ever since that episode, I was like, I say that a lot.
You do say it a lot.
And then I hear other people say it a lot. Yeah. And I'm like, why are we all saying this?
Because it only takes one person, i.e. me, for you, to go, that did not literally happen.
Oh, yeah. Wait.
And then you're like, oh, shit, you're right. That didn't literally happen.
No, I know,
so now I'm
aware. But why are we saying it in
because
the first place?
It's like the new like. You know, how everyone's like, it's like this.
Yeah.
Or
it's
like,
Deadwood,
for sure.
As they say.
Dead what?
Yeah, Deadwood. When I was doing a speech.
Like the TV show?
Forensics. Did you guys do forensics in high school?
God, no.
Oh, you're trying to be a cop?
I did forensics in high school. Yeah, it's called CSI Poetry. no. Yeah. No, I did it. I got into it because I was in a play in my senior year, and they were like, you should do forensics. And I was like, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
And it's like public speaking. Debate falls under it a little bit, but it's a lot of like poetry. And
yeah, it's,
so
it's
I did,
almost like spoken word
it
stuff.
It is. So I did, like, I went to a one of the like state competitions and did wasn't the cheese shop? No, the argument clinic. The famous Monty Python sketch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I love the cheese shop, though.
Yeah, the cheese shop is great. It's just really hard to remember because there's so many fucking cheeses.
Yeah.
But so I did, with a buddy of mine, we did the argument clinic.
Right.
As it for forensics competition.
Right.
Which was so much fun. But one of the things they talk about is the ums and ahs and all that stuff. It's all called Deadwood.
Ah.
So it's like, it's something you say while you're talking in order for your brain to catch up to what you actually want to say.
I don't think literally and like might classify as that. Literally, I think, is one of those weird, like, oh, shit, I just said. Those weird, Deadwood! Damn it! I have
there
such bad
go.
Deadwood
weird
right
words.
Now.
So much Deadwood.
It's a, crap. it is
transition.
Used to... instead of saying it's like Uber or something or super something, it's what's the word? It's an adverb. Is that what it is? When it does an adverb enhance an adjective?
Well, as a professional writer, I can honestly say I don't know.
Yeah,
I should.
And
you know,
he is
instead
literally
of saying
a professional writer,
instead of saying like, it really blew my mind, the next level is it literally blew my mind.
I gotcha. So it's become.
Yeah.
It's become the sort of go-to hyperbole.
Yes, yes.
That everybody loves to use.
Exactly. But the problem is that it has its own definition that technically does not make sense. That literally does not make sense in the way it's being used.
Correct.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Interesting. But we should have actually called the show literally.
Yes.
I just didn't realize, to be honest, after we talked about it for an hour, I just forgot that that was something that had happened on the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't even remember what I titled the show. The titles are a very interesting thing for me because...
I feel like you just think of them the Sunday night before.
When I'm editing the show and throwing it up to Nerdist,
We need to write these things down more.
Well, we had the one, Dake My Brick Off. Dake My Brick Off.
That is because I said we need to name the episode this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. But
so we have to be very clear.
It would have been a good one.
Next time.
Lots of crazy stuff happened this week in the world.
Yeah. Should we get to
some
emails?
In the techie stuff. Let's get to some emails. And then we've got
some emails.
We got to check. Oh, so this is. Remember we talked about James
Marsden.
Marsters. This guy wrote in.
Really?
I think it's spelled.
I was kidding.
Oh, yeah. No.
Okay.
James Marsters, the guy plays Spike on Buffy.
Yeah.
Remember we talked about his British accent?
I never knew his actual name. I just said James Marsden because he's an attractive
like
actor.
Yes.
But it sounds like a thing. It is a thing. He's a human being. Stop belittling James Marsden.
No. He's the thing.
He was the original Cyclops.
Yeah.
Okay.
And probably still is in the... In the
original X-Men movies.
In the X-Men movies.
Yeah.
Like, those people still exist. I mean, I think he was killed, but now they reset it because of time. Did you see the last one, Apocalypse?
Yeah, I just watched it on a plane.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. I'm waiting for it to come out.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway. So James Marsters.
Buffy.
Buffy.
Spike.
Hey,
got it.
AA and TSV.
Yes.
Longtime listener, first time caller. In a recent podcast, you talked about James Marsters. It's like Marsters.
Right. Who wrote this in?
This is Mark.
Hi, Mark. I just had to take care of business.
And his fake English accent on Buffy.
Yeah.
If you're into contemporary fantasy, and I can recommend an audiobook version of The Dresden Files by Jim Butcher, Mr. Marsters does the narration for it.
Oh.
Cool.
Yeah. He does a great job.
In a British accent?
And it gets better and better. Also, if you need your Spike accent fix, you'll enjoy the character Bob the Skull. So I have a feeling he narrates it in his own voice, but then certain characters, because that's like the best...
Yeah.
The best sort of audiobook people sort of do a little bit of a voice. They don't go crazy on the voices.
Right.
Like with ladies specifically, like if a dude's reading and it's a girl voice.
Ooh. Oh, you know that? You're right.
It's a Cockney hooker over here.
That's how Monty Python does it.
Yeah, exactly.
How am I ever going to save the plantation?
Exactly.
Ooh.
But see, if you were reading it and there was some dude who was like,
yo.
Yeah, exactly.
How goes it, bruh?
All dudes are idiot Hawaiians.
Yeah.
How
goes
it, bruh? Hang ten, yo. Skateboard.
How do you like my lay?
How do you like? I couldn't tell if you said how do you like L.A. or how do you like my lay?
My lay, because I'm Hawaiian, right?
Anyway, so first off, Dresden Files, wasn't that a TV show?
Your mom's a TV show.
So. Oh, geez, somebody is hot and bothered today. Somebody found her super popular beer.
Yes, it was a TV. But no, I think it was a book. It was just a book.
The Dresden Files? I feel like it was a...
No, I think you're thinking of the X-Files.
That's not the X-Files theme song now that I think about it. I think it was ER or something. Oh, no, it was MacGyver. That's what it was. Because I watched... Yeah.
So did I.
By the way, that new MacGyver was like one of the highest rated premieres of any TV show ever.
Are you serious?
Yeah. People love it.
Well, people watched it.
That's true. True.
Yeah.
You are literally correct.
Yes, yeah. People watched it. Yeah. A lot of people watched it.
Yeah.
I was one of those people.
Oh.
Who watched the pilot.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, man. It's such a perfect example of people... looking at a thing, and it's the reason why I usually hate sequels to things.
Yeah, except for Aliens.
Except for Aliens,
and Terminator 2.
And Terminator 2. That's okay. Those two.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple others. Empire Strikes Back. Empire Strikes Back.
Bill and Ted.
Bill and Ted.
What? Focus Journey is not better than Excellent
Adventure.
But
here's the thing that I've started to realize.
It's not worse, but it's not better.
Yeah. Here's the thing I've started to realize that happens.
Gave rock and roll to you. Gave rock and roll to you. Gave rock and roll to everyone.
All right.
Okay. Sorry, Alex, what were you saying?
So what I've come to realize is the thing that I don't like is that people who make creative decisions about sequels,
yep,
oftentimes, or remakes as an example, oftentimes they think that what makes something successful is a very few big points that jump out.
Right.
So, an example, MacGyver.
Okay.
Clearly what they did was they went, well, why MacGyver was successful was because he does all these weird things
with
paperclips.
Yeah.
That is not what made MacGyver successful.
Well, that's how I would define MacGyver.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you go back and watch MacGyver, it's because it was a very strong character-driven mystery of the week.
Yeah.
With great characters and awesome dialogue.
You know, it's interesting.
It also happened to be that every once in a while he solved things with paperclips.
Yeah.
But that wasn't what that made that show great.
You know what's interesting? I often say this about, Dear Departed G4, is that for whatever reason, the powers that be believe that the reason Attack of the Show worked was because there was a... hot female host.
What?
Yeah.
So.
Which makes sense. It's why you have viewers. But what I always say to people is, no, the heart and soul of that show is Kevin Pereira.
Yeah. Yeah.
The reason that show worked was because of Kevin Pereira.
Yeah.
And I think one of the reasons like the network slowly declined was because no one really recognized that in Kevin. They thought it was like this formula that you could see as opposed to knowing what the heart of the show was.
Well, and that's a great example of what I'm saying that usually happens with sequels is
And I'm not trying to take away from any, obviously I hosted with Kevin Pereira too, but like, you know, I was one of those women that they thought needed to make the show work, but I was like, no, the show was Kevin Pereira.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But so with the MacGyver pilot watching it, I was like, wow, they just went full bore into
solving
things with the paperclips.
Got it.
And I mean, it's like every 5 minutes there's a voiceover of him telling you why he's solving things with paperclips. And I was like, dude, that's not what the show, it's not just what the show was.
And isn't it true, isn't he like MacGyver's son?
No, he's MacGyver.
He's Angus MacGyver. They say it right away.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
He didn't say Angus Jr.
No.
He's like, I'm Angus MacGyver.
Oh, but I thought it was like his dad. I read the pilot.
You're thinking of the Knight Rider reboot.
I read part of the pilot for MacGyver when it was casting, and I remember it being like his dad was lost or...
Nah.
They shot the pilot, and then they reshot.
Oh, you're right. I actually did hear that. I heard that they reshot like 70% of that pilot, and they recast a lot of it and whatever.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where I'm like...
I think it was originally supposed to be that he was MacGyver's son. So he's still MacGyver, but I think he's supposed to be the original MacGyver's son.
Yeah.
They're doing a Magna P.I. reboot with his daughter.
Yeah, that I kind of get behind.
I know,
that.
And John Rogers, a buddy of mine, is writing it or show running it or one of those things. Yeah, and he tweeted that, and I was like, John! I look really good in a mustache. He's
amazing.
Like, I'm sure you do, Hazel.
Allison, if you get an audition, can I get an audition to play Rick's kid? Rick, the helicopter pilot. Rick owned the restaurant.
Yeah, Rick owned the restaurant. Yeah. The helicopter pilot was that was the black dude with the like Hawaiian shirts. Yeah.
You cannot have an audition to play his kid.
I'll play Rick's daughter.
That's amazing.
If they're doing like the girl thing,
seriously?
I'll put on a wig. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know.
Maybe
I'm for
she's a tranny. I could do that.
Sure.
Maybe she's a tranny. Super
trans.
Sensitive.
Trans.
Super sensitive we are in this
hey,
show.
And guess what? This day and age, bring it.
Yeah.
Right?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
You win some Emmys for that.
Yeah,
as Rick's transgender daughter,
they need to actually cast
Tom
a trans
Super Bowl
person. Yeah,
Tom would probably turn trans to get that role.
That is true.
I would.
You're like done. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play.
Anyway, today. Keep me in. I'm about to take my last sip.
I feel like we should do some stories.
Yeah,
because there's a lot of stuff we have to do
as I take my last sip of super popular beer.
Okay, first off, quick. Follow-up story.
Oh, yes.
Lots of emails sent in about this. Maybe one of the most emailed stories ever.
Whoa.
Spider bites Australian man on penis again.
Yes!
I did not understand this story when I first saw the title. It's the same guy.
The same dude.
The same dude.
I know.
Who sat in a porta potty and got a bite on his dick.
Yeah.
He was at a construction site in Sydney. And was like, fuck those things. I'm never going into one again.
Right. As you
then,
shouldn't.
One of them had just been cleaned.
Yeah.
So he's like, well, it's just been cleaned.
Yeah.
Goes
it's fine.
In, looks under the seat, looks all around. Okay, great. Sits down, starts to do his business. Bit on the penis.
That's
almost
insane.
The exact same spot.
Oh, my gosh.
He has a spider-attracted penis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First
like
off, never take your penis out in front of spiders.
Yeah. Exactly. He's that like, guy's... why isn't pussy attracted to my penis in the same way?
Yeah.
He's like, I gotta find somebody with a spider penis, with a spider pussy.
Spider pussy.
Who just wants to attract to my
spider
penis.
Girl. Spider girl would have a spider pussy, right?
Whoa, I mean, man. I guess she'd have spider everything.
Yeah.
Because she's spider girl.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh my god, I love it. I just love that Australia is still, like, the fact that I'm even still thinking of going to Australia at this point.
Australia is amazing.
I'm sure it is.
I had the
it also
best
has dick biting spiders.
It has dick biting spiders. Also,
dick seeking.
I mean. I hate to get into this conversation, but like, I'm assuming the guy needed to go number two.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
Because why the fuck isn't he just standing?
Yeah, well, no, I think he's got to take drop
maybe
the kids.
He's really in doubt.
He's
got to
negotiate
like,
it says he's sitting in the article. It says he's sitting now.
Yeah, he's negotiating the release of the chocolate hostages.
Jesus Christ.
He's dropping the kids off at the pool.
I mean, that's the obvious one.
Yeah, I love that negotiating the release
I've never
of the chocolate
heard that
hostages.
That's hilarious.
Anyway, so I have a feeling. But then I was like, dude, first off, I don't care how clean the porta potty is. I don't go anywhere near. I don't go 6 feet in any direction to a porta potty if a spider has bit me on the dick.
Yeah, but let's be honest. Like, why?
By the way, I don't take my pants off for the rest of my life.
You can't live your life in fear, though.
I can live my life in fear.
What?
Of dick biting spiders?
Yeah,
that happens once.
I know.
And then you are done. Your dick stays in your pants unless you were in hermetically sealed rooms.
Just fucking spiders. If anyone in Australia,
we hate spiders.
We have Australian fans.
Yeah.
If any of you know this man,
oh yeah,
have him call us.
My favorite thing is so the guy's name is,
or let's get him on Drunksmith.
Jordan. Yeah, that'd be great if he Skyped in. Yeah, his name's Jordan. But this is my favorite quote in this whole story. Jordan, who preferred not to reveal his real name.
Oh.
You think?
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
He's going to be like, nah, you can tell him. It's me, Jordan Blumpke, the guy who got his dick bit twice by spiders. No. Nobody wants to be that guy because you're never not that guy for the rest of your life.
That is true.
Jordan's got his dick bit twice.
Hey, Jordan, tell him the story about how your dick got bit by a spider.
I find that kind of a cool story if a guy told you that. You'd be like, yeah, I want to sleep with this guy.
No.
Really? Okay. See, there we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Done.
I thought
you
maybe,
just
I don't know
convinced
what
Jordan, what's his name, to never say this.
Yeah, Jordan Blumpke. Because I feel like I would look at his dick and be like, okay, where was it? And then, you know
yeah,
what
but
I mean?
Would you want, but would he be like, here, I'll show you where the spider ate my dick?
No,
would you
that's
be like,
what,
that's interesting?
No, that's what I feel like I'd be scientific about it. So then I would know it would no longer be attractive. Okay. Does that make sense?
What if he's a super stud, this Jordan guy?
Well, he's Australian, so there's a really good chance about that.
So okay.
And he's a construction worker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's an Australian construction worker. Like that already sounds like something
Maybe I'm changing
else
my mind.
Yeah, she's like, nah, I think I should check that spider bite.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a spider bite? Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll check your spider bite. Oh, it's on your penis? Ha ha.
So this is going to be a little TMI, but whatever. This is a few years ago. I was dating this guy who was like the biggest tool I've ever dated in my life. Like, okay. When I look back and I'm like, yeah, that guy was an asshole. Like, that's how I classify him.
Okay.
You got to get through one.
So not a tool, he was an asshole.
He was both.
Okay.
He's just a douche.
Tool.
He's all of them.
Got it.
But he was stupidly attractive and had one of those like Cheshire Cat smiles where he like smiled. I'm like, okay. And it was, you know, phase of my life where I was like, yeah, I'll just go for like the insanely hot guy and maybe I'll get through this. But no, obviously
he
was terrible. But what my point is at some point in this relationship, a friend of his went to like, I don't know, like Thailand or something like that.
Oh boy.
And came back with this salve or cream or something that guys can put on their dicks to make them like really hard.
So like Thai Viagra.
Yeah, but it's a cream. So it goes, you don't Tiagra. Take it as we're just full of good ones.
By the way, it's probably just cocaine.
Yeah.
In Vaseline.
Right. But my point is you don't take it as a pill. You actually like wipe it on your dick.
Got it.
And he was like, he's like, I'm going to try this for us next time. And I was like, no.
Yeah.
And he's like, why? I want to see what it does. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. That goes inside me.
Yeah. I don't want Thai Vaseline Viagra.
You put it on externally.
Yeah.
But for me, it's internally. Internal,
yeah.
And it became a massive fucking fight between us.
Really?
He was not cool with the fact that I did not want to try this with him.
What?
I mean, like I said, he's a massive tool.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
But it was a big deal. But I was like, why do you not understand that I don't want this random shit, like, literally inside my body?
Yeah, that is
fucked up.
But
it'll make you really hard, too.
And you're like, that's not how it's supposed to happen. I don't want that.
Not at all.
Oh, what an ass tool.
Yeah.
Although there's a part of me that's like,
he's a douchey ass tool.
What was that made of?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Like, human horn?
Human horn, yeah.
Ew.
What? That's a long story.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, at least it wasn't spider. By the way, it might have been spider venom.
Spider venom.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, I wonder if this guy got
Jordan,
massive
then there you go.
Swole dick.
Yeah.
Massive swole dick.
He's like, this is great for like an hour. But I have this massive swole dick.
Yeah, but then I'm like, I don't want spider venom. Spider venom inside of me.
Yeah, no. Not even close.
We're very, you know, porous in there. Porous is not the word I'm looking for, but you know what I mean? Like, we absorb a lot.
Ah!
Yeah.
Spongy.
Spongy? Yeah, that's good.
All of this is... It's just all disgusting.
Shit gets in there, that goes straight to the bloodstream, so...
Ah, I gotcha.
Is that how, like, some people do drugs, then, I would assume?
I think so.
No, there was the whole thing of the like, vodka-soaked tampons.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That like alcoholics drunk. Sometimes will put like vodka soaked tampons up there so they can like drink throughout the day without drinking.
We did a story about.
It's kind of cool.
Remember, we did a story about a bunch of herbs that women were. People were being like, do not stick these herbs in your vagina.
The cleansing, the like vaginal herb. Oh, God. It was like the potpourri, right?
Yes.
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 Yeah. Vagina potpourri. That was like episode 2. Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, maybe not 2.
It was up there, though.
It was early.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about some actual science.
Yeah.
Instead of Thai Viagra science.
Yeah.
So this next story. Thiagra. I love it. So this next story. Everything you need to know about SpaceX plan to colonize Mars.
I thought you said SpaceX.
SpaceX. Everything you need to know about SpaceX. Plan to colonize Mars.
How has it never been said that way before?
SpaceX?
Yeah, I mean, I understand what SpaceX is, but SpaceX. Why has no one confused SpaceX with SpaceX?
You know that's going to be a parody porn someday with some guy that looks like
totally.
Elon.
Yes.
Yeah.
SpaceX.
I'm sorry,
SpaceX.
What was the actual title of this article? Because I didn't listen after SpaceX.
Here's the deal.
Okay.
Elon Musk.
Yeah. He did a big presser.
Yeah. Do you know what that was about?
Going to Mars.
Colonizing Mars.
Yeah.
He is like, we're doing that.
Yeah.
The first unmanned mission is going to be going in 4 to 5 years.
Wow.
And the first manned mission is potentially going in 10 years.
Oh, man. We better be doing our podcast still by then.
Fuck yeah. we will come out of retirement if we have to.
10 years.
Mars. But 10 years is totally. But 10 years, guys. 10 years.
Yeah.
They're going to be sending people to Mars in 10 years. SpaceX is.
Yeah.
NASA? Really? NASA doesn't give a shit about that manned space flight anymore at all. But SpaceX, 10 years, they are going to send people to Mars. Now, here's the crazy thing. They have – so his whole thing was the issue is there isn't much of a crossover between the people that want to go to Mars and the people that can currently afford to go to Mars.
Oh,
he said essentially if you think about it – right. And he goes, if you think about it business-wise, why aren't people going to Mars? Because the people that want to go to Mars can't afford to go to Mars. How much does it cost to go to Mars? It right now would cost probably about $10 billion per person to send somebody to Mars.
Wait, I don't.
So if you had $10 billion,
paying for people to go to Mars?
Well, no. This is all how he came up with the concept of how do we get people to Mars?
Okay,
is he went. The problem is the people who want to go to Mars can't afford to go to Mars.
Meaning they can't actually afford to like build a ship and
correct.
Go to Mars.
Yeah,
got it.
About
okay.
$10 billion per person
got
to get
it.
Yourself.
I thought
to Mars.
You meant they couldn't afford to like leave Earth or something.
No,
like
no,
that.
No. So the whole concept is he was like, well, how do we reduce the cost? So that we can get the cost down to what we believe is approximately $200,000 a person.
Jeez. Wow.
Because he said at about $200,000 a person, anybody on the planet, for the most part, who wants to move to Mars could move to
can
Mars.
Can figure out how to do it.
Yeah, he was like, we got to get it down to about the cost of a medium price of a home on the planet. Yeah.
Okay.
It's $200,000.
I love the way this man thinks.
Right. So then he goes, well, how do we do that? And he said, well, first off, we have to figure out how to reuse the systems.
Yeah.
Because he said, like, if you wanted to fly right now from LAX to San Diego, it's like $43.
Yeah.
But if you couldn't reuse the plane, it would be $1 million a person.
Wow.
To fly from LAX to San Diego. And he goes, nobody would go.
Yeah.
But because you reuse the plane, you can then lower those costs to the point where it's $43 to go to San Diego.
Right.
So he was like, so the whole concept is they created this. It's actually a really cool concept for a space vehicle. So the rocket goes up with the space with the passenger vehicle. Passenger vehicle land is light because it just has people in it.
Right.
People and cargo. That's it. No fuel.
Right. Wow.
So it launches the rocket up. Let's go. The rocket comes back down, lands back on the platform.
Which they've shown they can do. Yep.
They put an exact replica of the thing that's up there with the people, but now it's just filled with fuel.
Oh.
They shoot that up immediately afterwards.
What?
Yeah, they put it in parking orbit with the people.
Yeah.
It comes back down, takes another one, goes back up. That one has gas. They merge. The fuel goes over into the one that has the people, and then the people shoot off to Mars.
Oh.
I would not have the guts to be the first person to like actually go to Mars like that. Oh. That sounds scary. Like, just, oi.
Yeah, because then you're just like hanging up
but
there,
here's the
like
cool
waiting
thing.
For.
Well, and then he starts to go into we need to make that travel fun. Like, we cannot make that a claustrophobic, enclosed.
Yeah.
So he's
we'll
like,
put a ball
we want to do.
On there.
No, they said they're going to do zero G game rooms. There's going to be cinema, restaurants.
Oh, restaurants?
It takes a while to get there.
Yeah, it takes like
2 years?
Like 6 months.
Oh.
It's like 6 months.
I think it's longer.
Remember in the thing, it was like
Mars?
They had to come back to Earth and then zoom back around and it added a year.
Oh, is that how to get to Mars?
No. I mean, in the science movie about Mars called The Martian. Remember they were like on their way back? And then they were like,
science movie
they were like,
Mars.
They have to loop back around, pick them up, and then back. It'll add 2 years to their cycle.
Well, yeah, but that was only because they were going in the wrong direction.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying. So it couldn't take 2 years if they were going in the right direction one way.
I think it's longer than 6 months.
Well, let's say it's between 6 months and 2 years.
Okay, yeah.
Some scientific...
Google it. Google it right
either
now.
Way, you'll be bored during
how
those
long
six
would it take
months.
To get to Mars? Just Google that.
How long
I bet Google will have some sassy answer for you.
To get to Mars. And it's going to be like, are you Elon Musk? the closest approach... spacecraft launched from Earth. Left at 3,000 miles. Would take such a probe... to get to Mars would be, it says 39 days.
What? No.
Hey.
Mars 1. Hold on. How long does it take to get to Mars? Just give me a solid answer, scientists.
Yes.
It's a simple question.
It's literally math.
Yeah. And they were like, well,
it
how fast are you going
math.
To go? The precise duration of the journey depends upon when it's taken because both Mars and Earth's orbits are not perfectly circular.
Oh,
fuck you, science.
Blah, blah, blah.
So 6 months. Right.
Great.
God, let me just see. Here we go. Trip to Mars. Let me just... Somebody give me a
I feel like the whole trip takes 2.5 years.
Here we go.
So what's that?
The typical time duration of Mars' closest approach to Earth every 1.6 years
oh.
is how close it is. The best across is 260 days.
260, okay. Just so under Mars.
What's that? That's 9 months.
Yeah. So.
Okay, so not 6 months, 9 months.
Yeah. The number I hear most
you're
often.
You're only kind of right, Alex, is my point.
It could take, depending upon the transfers of orbits, could take as little as 130 days.
Okay.
Anyway, awesome. So. Not super long, but long enough that you want to have an arcade.
Yeah.
You want to have a restaurant.
You don't, yeah.
You want to have something like that. So his whole thing was, he was like, we got to make this enticing for people. Now, here's the cool part.
What's the cool part?
They're going to test by sending the Dragon 2 capsules to Mars. That's going to start happening in the next four
years. They're sending dragons to Mars.
They're sending fucking dragons to Mars. But here's the crazy thing. They're like, well, shit, if we're going to Mars,
yeah,
we should bring stuff that we are going to want.
Yeah.
So they're actually going to bring stuff to start, because the whole concept is they're going to make a factory, a plant Jeez. That is going to make fuel.
They're just
going to
make
on Mars.
Giant
so they're going to
3D
make
printers.
More fuel. Yeah, they're going to start sending all that stuff. And so they're going to start building the habitats and stuff. They're going to have the pieces to build the habitat before they even send people.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm telling you, this is like a thing. This could happen.
How do they make fuel on Mars? What's it made
so,
of?
So, funny you should ask.
Yeah, I want to know.
There are
we have an answer.
We have an answer, because this is how science should be when you Google it.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, gas, you say? Here are three different ways you can make gas.
Yeah. We laid it out in an easy chart for
you. Fuel tank you want? Gas? Wait, let me find the gas thing.
Oh, God
so
damn
we,
it,
what,
Alex.
Tap into the...
No, so there's three types... Oh, here we go. So the three main choices of gas: kerosene, hydrogen, oxygen, and deep cryomethalox.
Carbonate.
It's a type of methane.
Frozen and carbonate.
Hard to make.
Carbonate.
Yep. Yeah. It's hard to make traditional jet fuel, kerosene, on Mars.
That makes sense.
Hydrogen is very expensive and difficult with planet conditions.
Yeah, otherwise the aliens would have already gone to it.
Exactly. So methane is the clear winner. Easy to produce, low cost. It's a deep cryomethanox specifically. So they're going to make methane, basically.
They're bringing a bunch of cows up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Waiting.
Just
that would be
AI
cows
in a blimp.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Cars are just like on Mars, and then humans show up and they're like, where the fuck you guys been?
We've been creating all this methane for you guys.
Why are the cows here?
Yeah.
Some guy's like the mayor of Mars eating a giant T-bone with a cowboy hat. Hey, guys! Well, shit, took y'all a long time to get up to Mars.
And we're like, ah, oh, fuck, Martians
like,
are cowboys.
The Southerners are all Martians. That would be fucking hysterical. My methane farm's firing great.
Yeah.
So anyway, so they've got this plan that's like very clear, concise. And then he basically is like, how are you going to fund this? And he goes, no idea.
Oh.
He was like, we have a feeling it'll be high net worth individuals investing in it. Like himself, but also like people that are like, I have a shit ton of money and I want to go to Mars, so I'll give you a portion of my shit ton of money because I know it'll help me be one of the first people to go to Mars. But also he said governments, he said it's gonna have to be sort of like a private public, because essentially NASA can go, well, we have a big ass budget and all our Mars money is going to us sticking our thumbs up our ass going, I don't know if we should go to Mars.
Right.
What they could do is take their thumbs out of their butt and then put that money into this Mars program.
Right.
That is being
Elon Musk.
Exactly. Which I think is fucking fantastic.
Have your dad make some phone calls.
I will. I'll call him and be like, Mars, let's do it.
Yeah.
I want to go.
It's like
the
shit happened.
I want to be on the
first
wave.
I want to Skype with someone on Mars.
Mm.
I don't want to go to Mars.
Yeah.
I would totally go to Mars.
You would totally go to Mars?
Yeah. I mean, I might not be the first guy to go to Mars, but I would totally go to Mars.
Really?
Did you see Total Recall?
Yeah. Get your ass to Mars. I was like, okay.
But the eyes popping out.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to go to Mars and then just hop off the plane and be like, thanks, guys. I'll be outside.
I don't know how smart you are.
I'm hopefully smarter than that, Tom.
But like, wait, you go to Mars, you can't come back.
Sure you can. That's the thing.
That's the methane?
That's the thing. They're going to make propellant on there to send the ships, because they have to send the ships back.
Can you like legitimately think about this, though?
And by the way, he said his number of like essentially to become a self-sustaining colony on Mars, he says it needs to be at least 1 million people.
A million?
Yep. And he says we can get there between 40 and 100 years from now.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Because it's awesome. He started by saying we have two choices as a species. We can stay locked to Earth
Yes, do that.
And at some point, we will experience an extinction level event. Yeah. That will happen.
Yeah, but it's not going to happen in my lifetime. So
no,
but then I get reincarnated.
Yeah,
and then it'll happen in that lifetime.
Once reincarnation happens, you're like, no shit, I fucked up. Do the space one.
Yeah,
or they can become a spacefaring world and a multi-planetary culture.
Man, that's crazy.
Still not going.
That's crazy.
Oh, so going, so great. So speaking of crazy,
yeah.
One last thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just saw this right before we started recording.
Okay.
So you know we talk about. Self-driving cars.
Yeah.
We talk about it a lot. We talked about Tesla.
Yep.
Doing their stuff.
Yep.
And then Uber.
Yep.
Is doing their stuff. Google has their cars that they're doing.
Yeah.
NVIDIA.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
NVIDIA, the graphics card company.
Yeah.
Just announced that for the last couple years, not only have they been experimenting with self-driving cars. You ready for this?
Oh, no.
They never programmed the car.
Huh?
What?
They thought, well, wait a minute. Computers are really smart.
Yeah.
And they understand don't bump into shit.
Yeah.
So what if we just set up a car with all these different sensors and all that stuff, and we tell it all you have to do
is not crash?
Don't crash.
Interesting.
Okay.
And they started it in a parking lot.
Yeah.
And it ran over cones. And then stopped and was like, oh,
that's
sorry.
What I'm not supposed to do.
That's what I'm not supposed to do.
Yeah.
So then it started realizing.
Did it say sorry?
It needed. I was like, sorry.
Sorry.
Cone fuck. I cone fuck. So it started learning when you see cones, you should avoid stuff. It is now so much farther ahead of any of the other things. Yeah, it will. It will drive by itself in roads that have lanes. It'll drive by itself without lanes. It understands oncoming traffic. No. It understands the sides of roads. It'll even take itself off of a road if, like, you know, when they do, like, construction and they put, like, cones. Like, no, you have to go. Even if it takes you off the road, which other cars would be like, you can't. There's a line. It says we are never supposed to go over this line. Oh. It will follow it. It'll go off the road if that's what is the best thing to do for your safety.
Oh, man.
And they show it doing, like, sharp 90-degree turns in, like, bush, like country roads that are, like, mostly bushes.
Really?
Yeah, because they never taught it what to do and not do. They said, just
you figure
don't
it out.
Crash.
Yeah. Wow.
That's your job. Don't really crash. Cool.
It's kind of like...
It's great. You should watch the video. It's freaking amazing.
Yeah, but you know what... Everyone credits Steve Jobs with, like, basically reinventing the phone, because what he said is like, oh, well, we don't use it as a phone anymore, so let me actually make it for what it's used for.
Right, yeah.
And then I'll just give it the ability to be a phone.
Yeah.
It's like that, like thinking from the ground up, as opposed to, like, already modifying things that exist.
Yeah. And it's just they put it in a car, which to me means that's, I think, going to be the thing that's going to be great, is being able to buy... You know, it might be pretty expensive at the beginning, but just think if you could go and buy, like, a $10,000 kit that you install on your car.
Oh.
And now you can just press the button.
Right.
Instead of having to go buy a Tesla,
you
can just strap the camera thing to the top. You can put the sensors on the either side, and you can hit a button.
I wouldn't trust myself to do that.
I'd rather just buy a car that is all built in. No, but think if you could take it to a place. Think if somebody said, for $10,000, you take it to a place, and your car will be able to, whenever you want, go into autonomous driving mode and you won't have to worry about it. Like highway driving. I mean, I would do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the things
you
I
would
love
also
about
go
Tesla.
To Mars in a heartbeat. So.
Yeah. Heartbeat.
The science. Yeah,
let's think about this, like, Mars thing for a second, because I realized, you know, when the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria came over here to colonize North America.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was like a 6-month trip or something like that. Yeah. Wasn't it like 4, 5, 6 months or something?
Yeah. And he actually
just stuck
mentioned
on a boat?
That. He actually mentioned that. He said
it is like we're the,
like,
new colonization.
When we got here, we, like, destroyed shit.
Yeah. What if we get over there and we just give all the aliens smallpox?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Ugh.
Also a good plan.
Yeah.
So he said, ultimately, he believes this project will be a comprehensive public-private partnership on the scale of founding the United States.
Oh, man.
Wow.
I mean, that's what it is. You're totally right. It's like, and by the way, it was people leaving for religious reasons.
Right.
And business people that were coming to see if there was extra spices or gold or whatever they could just fucking grab.
Yeah.
Smart people.
And then we destroyed all the Native Americans.
Yeah, look, there were some downsides.
Yeah.
Let's just say, I hope there aren't any Martians up there that are like, we love blankets.
Yeah.
Shit. Shit, damn it. This again?
I feel like we're better than this. I think we're done.
Totally.
I think we're done. Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening. Email us. I'm sure we said a lot of stuff that offended you guys today.
Today especially. Yeah, in a great way.
Email us at halfhourhappyhourfans@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, halfhourhappyhr. Mm-hmm. Thank you all for listening and writing in all the time and making our existences worth it.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Absolutely.
That's it for this week's episode of the Half Hour Happy Hour with Allison and Alex. I'm Allison Aislope.
I'm Alex Albrecht. That man I'm pointing to but you can't hear is the mastermind.
Can't see.
I mean, damn it, you can't see.
They can definitely hear him.
Tom, Super Volcano Krajewski. Thank you, guys.
Blay.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.